Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use, doesn't require a contract, and offers unlimited devices on one account. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com. And by stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with stamps.com. Use stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get this special offer, go to stamps.com now, click on the microphone, and enter Ham Nation. That's stamps.com, Ham Nation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 124, November 20th, 2013, the Midwest ARRL Convention.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bob Heil. We're in a very special place tonight, and with me is Gordon West.
Hi, Bob, and hi to Lebanon, Missouri. On the count of three, let's hear your call signs on Ham Nation. One, two, three. You can do better than that. Three, two, one. It's called a tail ender. We're fine, Bob.
Yay. Who's that on your right over there?
That's Big George.
Hi, Gordo. Hi, Bob. Hi, Missouri.
Is that all you have to say, George?
No, but I'm saving it up.
And we have Dale. Dale, how are you?
Hey, pretty good, Bob. Glad to be here. Fantastic convention you guys got going. Unbelievable. Shot a couple of videos already this afternoon.
So, wow.
All right.
It'll be fun coming down the pike.
Well, it's a wonderful thing, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we get started, we've got to answer a question or two that have been given to George and to Gordo and I for a long time. How did Ham Nation start? And it all started when Sarah, my sweet wife, and I visited Petaluma, California. We were there for 5 days. I had never met George. I've never met Leo. And what we did was we spent the time touring his little cabin that he used to have, and then he showed us this new facility. And he said, you know, I think we should do a program. So we did. How many have watched Triangulation 8? If you haven't done that, please do that. There again, you can go, when you go into the Ham Nation, you'll see the TWiT site. Then put in Triangulation 8. It was a wonderful program. And Leo Laporte found out during that program that most of his audience were hams. And I was really having fun with him. And he said, look at this, Bob, all the chat room, they're signing in with their call letters. And I said, we were the original geeks. And so that's how it started. And when I rolled out of the parking lot, the first guy I called was Joe Walsh, WB6ACU, a friend for decades. And I asked him if he would do me a favor of being the first guest. And then he wrote and plays the theme song. The second guy I pulled out of the parking lot after talking to him was my friend Gordon West. And boy, look where we've come from there.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is.
And then I found George, and he was just smoking away down in good old Mississippi. And, George, we really appreciate you being a big part of Ham Nation and teaching people what ham radio is all about, building, right?
Right, and it's been a lot of fun, Bob. I really appreciate y'all inviting me to come on the show and be a regular with you. You know, it's hard keeping up with Bob Heil and Gordon West. But I try my best.
Yeah, you do really well, let me tell you. And then we really were happy that that Dale came along. He started off really doing some of the AfterNet thing. How many people here in the audience do the AfterNet things when you get on to 75, 40, 20? If you haven't done that, you want to do that. It's fascinating. I heard, and I'm serious about this, I think you might back me up on this, George. I think, Dale, you might have heard it. The other night, on 75 meters, Cheryl had the biggest pileup I have ever heard on 75 meters. It was amazing, wasn't it, George?
It was just like a de-expedition or something.
Yeah.
And it was all for him.
That's right. That's right, because he was at our home, and Sarah had fixed a great meal for us, and we did Ham Nation Live, and a lot of people knew it, and they all wanted to talk to Gordo. But you want to check into those things. But we're very, very honored to represent Ham Radio, and this is not a show for one of us. It's a show for you guys and gals, and you have to continue to tell us what you want. We get lots of emails, and we try to answer them all. And Dale gets lots of them with your videos.
Oh, we love the videos out there. I mean, there are some creative amateur radio operators.
That's right.
The Q5 QRM gentleman that wrote the song and then directed the video. And just stuff like that, it's amazing. And we'd like to have more. So if you've got some ideas, send them in to us.
Great. Well, we want to get started here on the program. And I think the very first person that we should bring on is Bill Wheeler, K0DEW. Let's all give Bill a great hand because he's the guy that headed up this convention. Bill? We thank you very much for this. And I guess the first question is, how are you holding up through all of this?
I'm tired.
You're tired.
It's been a long day.
A long day. Well, tell us a little bit about where this all started. I know you have a fabulous team of people. It's not just one guy. It was a whole team, and, of course, your idea. How did it start?
Well, I can't say too much good about the team of guys we had working on this. We actually started planning this event about 2 years ago. You, of course, Bob, got involved. We thank you for your input and your support and your help and your ideas. For about the first year, we met every other month. And during the last year, we met every month. And the last 2 or 3 months, we met every other week planning this.
Wow.
And I think we have proven that a small club, keep in mind, our club is only about 20 members here in Lebanon.
Yeah.
And we're very proud.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The overall planning, when we first started out, we wanted to do something for our youth. And we really tossed that around, Bob, for a long time.
Yes.
And we came up with the idea, well, what could be more interesting to our youth of our country other than amateur radio, and how do we get them into amateur radio? And we landed on the idea of getting an astronaut. And I think we have one of the best in the Corps coming to visit with us this evening. We had him in the high school this morning. Outstanding program in the high school. They were actually glued on every word that Colonel Nagel said.
That's
so we planned it, we put it together, and you're setting in the results of it right now.
That's good. How many students did you have show up today in the gym?
Well, that's kind of a long story. At first, when we started talking with the high school, and I started talking to them about a year ago when we got the idea, they thought that about 25 would be about the right number. Well, about 6 weeks later, that number went up to 75. A couple of weeks ago, it went up to 125.
Wow.
We had over 265 kids in our program today at the high school.
Oh. Hey, great. That's super, super.
I think Carol Perry convinced them that we need an amateur radio club in our high school. The principal was very enthused about it, and Carol will be working with him. Wow. So don't be surprised if you hear some young people on the air.
All right. We want to hear more young people on the air. It's so much fun, and you're going to find out from a wonderful young ham here in a little bit about how much fun it is for some of these youth to get into this thing and wake us old men up, because it's really fun. I thank you personally for all you've done for Ham Radio. You are the founding father of the Collins Collectors Club. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you did that, what, back in the 80s?
That was about 91.
Well, we're still talking about this. We were so grateful to you to invite to their house and to see this incredible collection. And I marvel at some of the work that you've done, and thank you very much, because it's what keeps ham radio alive, is this kind of thing. Bill Wheeler, you're a very, very, very important ham radio operator. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate all that you have done and all of this group up here, what they have done for amateur radio.
All
thank
right.
You.
We'll be here next year. No, we don't talk about
don't
it.
Don't want to talk about it.
Bill Wheeler, K0DEW. Yeah. All right. Gordo.
Now, Bob, keeping things alive with kids is a specialty of a very special professor, and she is WB2 Mighty Good Professor, Ms. Carol Perry. Carol, come right on up, and everybody will give you a round of applause for all you've done for kids and ham radio. So you may have a seat here in the hot seat, and maybe tell us who you've brought, and we'll put them right next to you.
Okay, well, first of all, Bob and the rest of you, Bob, I especially want to thank you for the role that you played in putting this unbelievable event together.
Thank you, but it was easy. Bill and the board said, we want an astronaut. We would really like to have an astronaut. They said, what do you know about that? I said, well, that's easy. Really? We've been trying, but we just can't get any answers. I said, no, you call Carol Perry. She owns NASA. Really, she works so long. How long have you been working with the astronaut program?
Well, I taught Introduction to Amateur Radio, as you know, in a school in New York City for 30 years. And during that time, we were lucky enough to make 5 contacts with the shuttles. And then we spoke with 10 of the astronauts, actually from the Johnson Space Center and from other locations.
Yes. Well, I know you've been really active in the youth, and we appreciate that. We as amateur radio appreciate what you've done, because you've brought so many of the youth into ham radio, and that's what keeps it all alive. Oh, we
absolutely
appreciate that. You have a very special guest that you want to bring on Ham Nation tonight. Would you like to tell us all about it and introduce him?
Absolutely. One day in the classroom, I had a 7th grade youngster sitting at the microphone, and I was sitting right behind him. I always sat right behind the kids at the radio because they would worry that they would run out of things to say. And since I never run out of things to say, I would always be sitting right behind them. And a voice came on the air and said, my name is J-N5QWL, and I'm at the Johnson Space Center. And that was the point at which Gordon and I were doing the CQL SchoolNet. So the astronauts knew where to find us. And I assumed it was an engineer from the Johnson Space Center. And so I said to the youngster, ask the man, what does he do for a living? And the response came back, I'm an astronaut. I'm going up in space next week. Would you kids like to speak with me? And I said, give me that microphone. Now, at that point, Jay Apt, the astronaut, did a lesson with the children in my program, an hour's worth of having them design a spacesuit, and it was incredible. And at the end of that lesson, Jay said, Carol, this was so much fun. We would like to invite you to the Johnson Space Center where you can visit with us. Well, I don't get offers like that every day, so I said, the next flight out is in 2 hours. I'll be on it. I was, and I did. And that's where I got to meet our special guest. That was the all-ham crew that went up on STS 37 in April of 1991. And that's where I got to meet the very special guest that you have here today, Colonel Steve Nagel, N5RAW.
Well, let's get Steve to come in and say hello to our audience. And Colonel is, he really has got it together. Thank you for being here. Thank you very much for being here. And we watched a program a little earlier today, and boy, fascinating. You've got a lot of stories, and we appreciate you being here in Lebanon, Missouri at the convention.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, it's something that happened to me a long time ago. My life has moved on. I do other things now, and they're good too, you know, but that was a real special thing to get to do. It was a privilege.
Well, I would imagine, and we really appreciate you being here. And did amateur radio play a lot of part in the space station and the space ventures that you had?
Well, it did. In if you look at the flights I was on, three of the four flights had a radio on there. Now, in the first one, I was not involved with it. The Germans had a radio back in the space lab, like I think I mentioned, but I was involved in the next two missions. And I think the best thing we did, it was a lot of fun, but the real purpose of that radio was education for the kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, to make school contacts. That's why I always felt good about what we did with the radio.
Absolutely. And we've had several of those on Ham Nation. One of them I remember vividly. I know there are many, and I'm going to miss them all, but one of my good friends, John King, he's in the audience tonight from Greenville, Illinois. They trained the students, and they asked great questions. It was well done, and it was so almost emotional to watch these children talk to you guys in the space station in the show. It was amazing, and we say, well, this just happened. No, it doesn't. It's you guys allowing us to bring the students to do that, and people like John and his club and all of those people and the students and the schools. So it's bringing a different aspect to education, and boy, do we need that.
Oh, I think we do. And you know, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of people involved in making this happen. We just happen to be the ones that talked on the radio. But I remember one school contact. I think we were flying over Australia, and we were working with a ham in Australia who was somehow, you know, bridging the communication back into the States. You know, the students didn't know where we were. But we weren't flying right over them. We were somewhere else in the world when we were talking to them.
Yeah. Well, it's just so much of a pleasure and an honor to meet you. Thanks for being here. Keep up all your good work, and let's try to keep that space shuttle and the space action happening so these students can get more from their education. And we really appreciate you being here.
Okay.
Colonel Nagel,
thank
everybody. Thank you. Wonderful part of ham radio are all the different type of people that enter this hobby.
Let's take a little break from the convention, and then we'll get you right back. But first, let's talk about Ting. Ting is a no BS mobile phone service. Now, technically, they are what you call an MVNO, or a reseller of the nationwide Sprint network. So you know the coverage is going to be good. They are different, though. How are they different? Well, no contracts or early termination fees. Truly and completely contract-free is Ting. No early termination fees or other BS. In fact, if you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting, they'll help you with that. They will give you a credit for 25% of your early termination fee, up to $75 per device. All you do is purchase your device through Ting, port your number, submit your final bill with your ETF detail from your previous carrier. Go to ting.com/ETF for full details on that. And the rates range from extra small through double extra large service levels for voice minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data. And it's all billed separately. Now, the other guys, they'll charge you if you go over your allocated minutes, your text, or your data. If you have a heavier month with Ting, you just pay for what you use. That's it. Also, your voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way, call forwarding, other features, they're all part of the service. No add-on charges and no weird line items on your bill either. Ting charges you for what you use, plus whatever taxes they are legally required to collect. And that's it. No hidden charges, no recovery fees, none of that other stuff. And you have unlimited devices on one plan. Have as many devices as you want. One plan, sharing pooled minutes. Messages, megabytes, it's all right there shared. And every device on your plan costs a flat $6 a month. Also, you can take total control of your account with the powerful online account control panel. You can check out your usage and your bills, manage it all in the online control panel. If you ever do need to pick up the phone and talk to someone, you call 855-TING-FTW. Ting for the win. Anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, a real person will pick up the phone. And also, the excellent online support is there for you anytime at help.ting.com with active customer support forums, a simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, video startup guides, and much more 24/7. Here's how Ting works. You purchase your mobile device from Ting. You'll get that in 2 to 5 business days. Then you activate your device with Ting. They'll give you the option to select a new phone number or port your existing one. And then they'll break out your rates by minutes, text messages, and megabytes. Bill you at the end of the month for what you've used. That's it. Couldn't be any easier. Visit Ting today at hamnation.ting.com. Hamnation.ting.com and see just exactly how much money you can save and how you can better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out the savings calculator. You will see exactly how much you or your company can save. And because you're a Ham Nation viewer, you save $25 off your first Ting device when you sign up. Hamnation.ting.com. Go there and start saving today. And Ting, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. Let's get back now to the boys in Missouri at the ARRL Midwest Convention and Ham Nation.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Ms. Carol Perry is with us today, and she brings kids into ham radio, and that's one of the most exciting parts of ham radio is you never know what these kids are going to do next or what they sound like. We have one of the most professional young men that I've heard in a long time come here today to our ham radio convention here in Lebanon. And Carol, how about introducing who you have as a delightful young ham?
Thank you, Gordo. Well, what a great job I've got introducing two such special guests for you today. My pleasure. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I hope everybody who's sitting here will get some youngster that you know in tow and bring them to the Youth Forum, which we'll be doing here tomorrow at the theater at 2 o'clock. I will have my signature young people there always when I do a Youth Forum, and Colonel Nagel has graciously agreed to come as well, so he will be there too to interact with the audience. So you have a personal invitation from me to come. Now, one of the youngsters who will be presenting tomorrow is so eloquent and so good and everything we would want a youngster coming into amateur radio to be that I've already hired him for Dayton for the Hamvention, and he's going to be one of my young presenters. This is Jacob Keough, and he is 15 years old.
All right.
Okay, what a pleasure it was for me to have a talent search going in Lebanon, Missouri, because I would never do a forum without having at least one youngster do a presentation. And I was introduced to Jacob, who I thought I should, at the end of my conversation with him, say, well, could you please put young Jacob on, because I assumed I was talking to an adult. And Jacob will again be at the Dayton Youth Forum doing a presentation there as well. But Jacob, why don't you tell everybody, how did you first, at your tender age, get interested and involved with amateur radio?
Well, first I picked up a little VHF receiver and then started monitoring local transmissions like paging towers and such. And then I got a shortwave radio and began monitoring utility stations. And that just fascinated me that a signal could pass from a single location on the Earth and then end up thousands of miles away and be completely audible and completely clear. And this is where I started to hear hams. I didn't know they were hams, but I eventually started hearing them and thinking, why can't I do that?
And, of course, you did.
Oh, obviously.
When I met you, you were, I think, a year or two younger. It was a couple years
ago.
Yeah,
Winterfest.
Yes, I met him at a Hamfest, and he just amazed me at his vocabulary. And then I asked him, well, did your parents get into ham radio? And your answer was, no.
No, but I got my grandpa into it.
Is that cool or what?
Yeah. It's kind of not the stereotype, I guess.
Yeah, but you needed a driver to take you to these ham fests, right?
Yeah, and
yeah,
well, obviously I had to have a ham driver because there's no other suitable driver, obviously.
Oh, golly. Well, we really appreciate you coming and visiting us here today, and especially to be a guest on our Ham Nation, and we'll look forward to some of your other ventures. So you stay in touch as we're going to have you back on the show, and you can tune us into what your grandfather and maybe your mother and your father, is that getting closer?
Try.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming, and you stay active, and we'll talk to you on 75 meters.
Will do.
Okay.
It was an honor to be here, Bob.
All right. Jacob, Katie Zirrell, NVX. Thank you for coming. All right. Oh, boy. Yeah. It's amazing. Every time I talk to him, it's like, whoa. He just has such a great vocabulary.
Oh, it is terrific. You know, kids are terrific. Kids, in fact, told me we need to reinvent the cue codes.
Do we?
And I said, well, we better try it in front of a live audience just to see if it's funny or not, such as QWF, what the heck? Oh, man, that one didn't. How about QBO, don't sit next to this guy at the next club meeting? QBO. QDR. Darn right, the frequency's in use, huh? Yeah. How many of you go back to crystals? Remember the days of crystals? Yeah, look at this. We raided George's spot. We did not realize until we came here to Lebanon that you folks have the crystals. In fact, you're sitting on more quartz crystals than any other place we've ever been. Is that right?
I don't know. I'm not from here.
Oh. Well, we got the rocks from Lebanon to prove it. Well, we thought we'd try a couple other things tonight on a live audience just to see if it was funny or not, because sometimes we think something's just classic behind the screen, and then we get these. How many are on the chat room, by the way? On our chat room? Oh, a bunch of you. We see your comments on the chat room, but we get the email the next day going, Gordo, that did not go over. So that's nothing new. We wanted to try something. We had several requests not to do the blazing pickle. So with those requests, we will do the blazing pickle. Look at this. No, you don't want to clap yet because this is worse than, well, anyway. This is called the blazing pickle, and it's something that we do for kids just to get their excitement. Thank you for plugging that in as I was grabbing that. That's Bob. How many think we'll see a spark go from this element to this element when we depress the key in the A0 position? How many say yes on a spark? How many say no, it won't spark at 110 volts?
No.
How many say I don't even want to be in this room when you plug this thing in? No, it's not going to spark. No, it's the same distance between there. 110 volts won't spark. How many have had pets at home that made their mark on a wall socket? Well, that joke didn't go over.
No, let her try again.
No, let's not plug that. Here, would you hold that, George? All right. I would like to thank those of you that brought a selection of pickles. These are Lebanon pickles, and can you extract two from me? And I would like to thank Sarah. This is, where'd Sarah? This is from your house. I'm staying with the Hiles, and I raided your bathroom, and okay. All right, making darn sure, we're going to do both horizontal as well as vertical polarization. Because after this thing fails, oh boy, I got to wean that little guy. All right. What we demonstrate is the flow of electrons, and because the pickles contain salt, and what happens when salt, when you fry salt, it turns what color? Purple. Good job. All right. Go ahead, George, and plug it in.
Are you sure?
No, I'm really not, so I'm going to stand way back here.
Do you have tinfoil on the fuse here in case we...
Yeah, no,
much?
There's a 40-amp fuse in there. There's nothing to worry about.
Okay.
All right.
Fire in the hole.
All right. So how many would like Bob to do the sending, huh? Yeah. He's local. He's from Springfield. And so, but you don't want to touch the metal. You do not want to touch the metal. Yeah, there you touch the metal again. Yeah. You just want to do the old top part. Yeah, first bring it up to a boil. Oh, well, I just got... That hurt. Okay. No, I soiled myself. Okay. Wow. All right, a little SOS, please. And then your call sign in case Riley's here. Oh, the big K at the end. All right, give him a big hand. You may unplug that. Yeah, that's the old blazing pickle. You got to do these things, and tomorrow at 2 o'clock, no, I guess it's like 1 o'clock, I'm going to present a seminar. We're going to show you some more little demos. But here we go, Dale. Would you hold that, please? Okay. Dale, this is a demonstration of gravity. Would you just drop that in there? And if this fails, it'll be like the movie Gravity. Stand way up there, and I want you to catch it with your... Better stand up. Thanks, Dale. All right, comes to a seat. Dale's with the Coast Guard, was with the Coast Guard.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hold it way up high, and drop it and catch it with your left hand. Ready? Go. I have never on live TV had someone drop both elements of the demonstration.
Well, try it again.
Yeah, let's try it again. All right. As we say on Ham Nation, take two. All right, Dale, go ahead and catch it with your left hand. Trying to.
Almost.
All right, Dale, let's try it one more time. Okay. He comes up there, and go. They always look in the tube. At Dayton, Ohio, we put a little black mark, and they go like that, and they'd walk around all day with a black mark. Show them, do that one more time, Dale, one more time. And what this is showing is, go ahead and drop her in there. All right. And let her rip and wiggle the tube. Oh, okay. How about the other one? All right. One more. One more here. And what we're demonstrating is the, there we go, is the opposition to the flow of something that should normally go at the speed of, of falling. Okay. Anyway, some of the demonstrations you're going to see tomorrow. But again, we just wanted to say thanks to all of you at this great convention for making ham radio fun. All right, one last two more. If you had 1/1,000,000th of a mouthwash, what would that be? A microscope? 2 billion bicycles? 2 megacycles? And how about the time between slipping on a banana and smacking the ground? That's called a bananosecond. Well, I won't be using those. And now, let's go back to our host, Bob. You're on, Bob.
Good job, good job. Well, as all of you know, Ham Nation, I'd say about 8 or 10 programs into the show when we started it, we found this guy from Mississippi with a blowtorch. And George has just been so much fun, and we all learned so much from him. But we thought tonight that we might do something that we talk about a lot, but we're going to do it live. We're going to build a coaxial dipole antenna. And we talk about them a lot, and we've showed a few things. But we're going to show you how simple it is to do that. Now, one of the situations you have to think about when you build these is the center insulator, because that particular antenna is not like a regular dipole. You can't just stretch the ends because the beginning of the whole thing, of course, is the feed point. And we cut that in half. And here's what we do. First of all, we have to use 0.66% velocity factor. There's where a lot of people get messed up. They just take a piece of coax. You can't do that. It has to be 0.66, or you're going to have all of your diagrams or all of your dimensions are going to be off. And what happens is you break the center shield of that, and that becomes your feed point. And we're going to do that right here. Now, the other thing, hold that up one more time. The most important thing is how do you support it? I do it with a piece of plexiglass, a piece of fiberglass. Here I found a piece of metal in the garage yesterday, and I just drilled it. You drill 6 holes, and you weave it in and out so that if you want to support it,
You can do that with some type of a little wire up there. But that's how you do it very easily. You can buy some really nice ones. IAC antenna has a molded, it's really cool, an injected mold. But it's a little costly, and we like to do things ourselves, don't we? It's ham radio, right? Absolutely. So we're going to show you how you can just drill anything you have to support this, and away you go. So the first thing we have to do is break the shield and end up with just the center. Do not nick that center connector. That's conductor. That's really important.
Okay, easy, George. There's only 1,100 million people watching.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, again.
There we go. Now what you've done is broken the shield, and that becomes your feed point.
In our lifetime, George?
There we go.
I'm working.
He's getting there. The other thing about this antenna is it's very broadband. That's why I like these antennas. You don't need an antenna tuner. It's very broadbanded, and so therefore, you don't have to have all those things that just eat up power and don't do much. But that's another subject for another day. Okay, here we go. You got him. Now, we have those two feed points, and we'll take those and connect those to the feed line, but George is going to weave that in and out of this crazy little center plate that I built, just drilled six holes, but now it's going to support that really well. And I've done this for years, and it works very well, and you can do it from just anything. You can do PVC pipe or whatever, but this is the easiest thing, is some kind of a plate, plexiglass, whatever. There you go.
Does it really go through your shirt?
Okay, here we are. And we've got our feed line that comes up and connects to those two ends that George just created from the shield. And, of course, you want to solder those really well. And when after you get them soldered, you want to use the right kind of caulk. Some caulk does not like RF, and it will change the resonance, and you get some really weird stuff. I use RTV, and it works great, but it should be clear. And there we are. Now, you can dress that all up a lot better and so on, but we do this quickly here. But that's how we make the center insulator, so to speak. Out here, after you separate the shield and the center, you twist them together. And at that same feed point, we put the tuning stub. You can use just about anything. If you use the big ladder line, it'll be a little broader in resonance. I've used pieces of just 22 pieces of wire. I have used twin lead. But the best thing, if you could get the big ladder line, this is coming from MFJ, this ladder line, then you can really make it broadband. All of the dimensions for this are available and in various places. They're in my new handbook. How many people have my new handbook? It's really a wonderful array of old science. It's what it is. Science is what our hobby is built on. And if you haven't gotten a copy of that, why, you want to do that while you're here, because we got about two or three pages just on this antenna alone and a lot of old things. But it works extremely well, and I just wanted to show a lot of you here live how fast you can do this and how easy it is. So don't say, oh, I can't do that. Yeah, you can do that. Not a problem.
Bob,
so
after we get finished here tonight, I'm going to have a used G5 RV kit available here.
Are you? Okay. Okay, and that's thanks to MFJ, right?
MFJ,
they loaned that to us.
I think,
okay.
Is it Richard here?
Richard,
with MFJ?
Richard, where are you? Come up here.
Hey, Richard, get your rear up here.
Yeah, come on.
How many appreciate MFJ driving all this way?
Yeah,
with all that great stuff.
All right,
Richard, what's it like to drive that big vehicle? I mean, you don't sleep in it when you're like in between cities, do you?
Well, Jimmy keeps me awake with all the big chatter. He talks a lot.
Well, Jimmy, get your rear up here too. Well, he didn't see you there. No, okay, he's going to stay behind the scenes.
It took us about 8 hours, but that Missouri number 5, that was a good road for that big truck. Yeah,
Missouri
there's lots of turns.
Five.
George, you would know the Alabama area where we go to Dismal Canyon and all that. Yeah. That's the same type of thing, but I'm not used to this one. So I decided not to take it in the dark.
Okay. Richard, we as amateur radio, the entire amateur radio community, thank all of you at MNFJ for what you do. MFJ is a fabulous company. You can buy the best of the best, and you can buy things that don't cost a lot. It's your decision, and you guys make it all happen, and we really appreciate what you and Mr. Drew have done for amateur radio, and I personally want to thank you for supporting Ham Nation.
Oh, it's been fun. 42 years, Martin Drew.
Wow.
He's done some business, so it's been fun. We had a lot of good sales today, and I see a lot of people we already sold stuff to, so we hope to see you again tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your support.
All right.
Okay. Very good. Very
all right.
Good.
Thank you both
all right.
for them. Wait, just a moment here, Robert. This came in from the chat room. It says, what would be a million microphones? A megaphone?
I don't know.
Oh, man. This is a tough crowd.
I don't know.
Maybe you want to talk a little bit about microphones and megaphones?
Is that on the new extra exam, Gordon?
I stumped him on that one. You're
okay.
Right.
Right now, Gordon, you have a word from our sponsor, I think.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Fellow hams, it's time to start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your own ham radio desk computer. And Stamps.com have a no-risk trial, free digital scale, and $55 free postage offer for our Ham Nation members. To learn more about this special offer, go to Stamps.com. Wait a minute, do it after the show. Then click on the microphone, enter Ham Nation. I say again, go to stamps.com, click the mic, enter Ham Nation, and learn more about this exciting, no-risk, free trial offer. You know, these days you can get practically everything on demand from your computer, like this podcast. View and listen whenever you want. In between working DX or looking up rare call signs on your computer, or check propagation at any time on your computer. So why are you still going to the post office for stamps to mail foreign QSLs, or stamps to mail priority envelopes of logs, or standing in the holiday line to buy stamps, when you can get postage on demand right at your home or office computer? Stamps.com to the rescue. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes, and they don't have any lines either. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do right from your desk with Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package or foreign QSL card. Using your own computer and your own printer, you get postage whenever you need it. 24/7. You know, here at Radio School, we send out instructor packages, priority mail, and they're all over 13 ounces. You know what that means? Now we don't have to physically go down to the PO to check them in as they're over 13 ounces. We send out ham radio instructor training packages, all with different postal rates. So another time-wasting trip to the local PO? Uh-uh. We sometimes repair a radio. I'm good at that. And this goes out with another postal rate, so another trip to the PO. No more post office visits with Stamps.com. Stamps.com software helps us find the best way to send out our materials and lets us print the exact amount of postage needed. And we can even check a little box that lets our friendly postal carrier pick up our packages and priority mail right at the house. We also score a 20% discount on Priority Mail, 63% discount on Priority Mail Express packages, too, over the PO counter rate. And we also get 18% off on first-class packages and 10% off on insurance. And we get free Priority Mail tracking, too, with Stamps.com. No more surprises down at FedEx or UPS. We know what it will ship for right from the Stamps.com website. You know, Susie and I have always resisted the old-fashioned postage meter with long-term commitments, ink costs, repair costs. We're just a mom-and-pop radio school home office operation. Now we can print postage from Stamps.com directly on our outgoing ham radio instructor newsletters. Stamps.com lets us see our postal options right here on our screen without a long line at the PO pushing us to make a quick decision. So check it out. The free trial offer Stamps.com has for Ham Nation viewers and listeners. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Ham Nation. That's stamps.com. Click on the mic and enter Ham Nation. Gordo here, and I'll miss seeing you down at the local post office thanks to stamps.com. And now let's head back to the show.
This is so exciting to be in Collins territory. And Gary Harrison, the ex-QCWA president, because QCWA, how many quarter century wireless members do we have here tonight? Oh, I see a lot of hands out there. Well, Gary, if you want to come on up here, because I think you have something special that not too many folks know about. So, Gary, you get in the hot seat and welcome aboard.
All right. Gary Harrison. Gary, it's nice to see you, and we eventually met up with you when we moved to Pleasant Hope again. I hadn't seen you for years, but here now we get to go to some of your club meetings. How about that?
Yeah, well, we're not big, but we appreciate everybody that shows up.
All right, we have fun. You come tonight with some kind of a special presentation, I hear.
Yes, on behalf of the National QCWA, you have a 50th anniversary award. A 55-year anniversary award, and an unusual one that I've never been around before, the Quarter Century Century Club Award. And this is kind of strange the way it's derived. It's based on your age and how long you've been a member of QCWA. But we appreciate your participation in QCWA, and glad to present this on behalf of the national organization through Chapter 180 in Bolivar.
Well, I thank you very much. This is very honorable. I didn't know this was going to happen, and he saw me a while ago and said, I have something to give to you. And my goodness, have I been a ham that long? I guess I am.
You're one of the old guys.
I'm one of the old guys. Oh, my. Well, thank you so much. I'm very honored by that. Thanks for you, what you've done with QCWA. And we want to keep everybody abreast as to what's going on. And everybody should think about joining the Quarter Wireless Century.
All it takes is 25 years as a ham, and it doesn't have to be continuous even.
That's right.
We'd be glad to have everyone.
Right. Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks,
we'll catch up at your next meeting, and we appreciate seeing you here tonight. That's great. That's great. Well, thank you, Gary.
Congratulations, Bob.
Thank you.
Wow. 3 dB of QCWA. Two times 3 dB?
3 dB. Yes.
How'd I do?
3 dB.
Close enough.
Oh, I don't know, Gordo. I don't know. I can't... I can't tell you how honorable this is, but is it honorable to be this old?
That's for sure. But, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I've had a lot of fun in amateur radio, and it has really guided my career, a couple of careers, actually. And it's all because of what I learned as a young ham in my teenage years. I couldn't even drive like Jacob. I got into the hobby when I was 15, and wow, what it's done for me. And I hope that everybody can make ham radio do more for you. And you can do more. Get on the air. Enjoy what you have learned from Gordon's books, from all of our friends. Clubs, join clubs. It's really important. But ham radio is just one of those things that it's hard to get away from once you get in it. It's almost a disease. But we need to share with each other how important the hobby is. And I know many, many people that their life is based around what happened in the early life of ham radio. Again, we would not have television. We would not have most of the radio stations. We would not have the VCR. We wouldn't have the cell phone. And many, many other things that I just mentioned, they were all done by hams. People that didn't have degrees. They had just the knowledge of wiring things together, and either it worked or it didn't work. And so we have to look at some of the early things that happened in ham radio, and it's still happening, believe me. The hobby is not dying. The hobby is growing. Look at the numbers. And we have to institute that great love of what we learned with reading Gordon's book and getting excited about ham radio.
Oh, that's great, Bob. And speaking of television, you know, Bob just moved over here, Bob and Sarah, to Springfield, and he's put up that new antenna. How many of you have, in the old days of analog TV, interrupted your neighbor's television set? Yeah. Well, Bob's got this antenna that goes all around, and a couple nights ago he says, well, let's get on the air. The neighbors are still watching over the air. So we put out a CQ on 160 meters. The next thing we hear on the front door is, hey, knock it off. Bob opens the door going, are you getting that same interference?
That's right.
And he blamed it on George, 1,000 miles south.
That's right. Well, my best DX, I got to tell you, on TVI was when I grew up in Marissa, Illinois, about 50 miles southeast of St. Louis. My best TVI DX was 5 miles.
Whoa, wow.
Now, this was when we were 50 miles from St. Louis, Channel 2. I had my Harvey Wells TBS 50D doubling in the final on 6 meters. And let me tell you, we could really wipe out a whole city, which I did.
All right.
But that wasn't good enough. I had the next city, Lindsberg.
Right.
Yeah, Lindsberg's 5 miles up the road. So I think that, I don't know if that's any kind of a reward. Gary might have to tell me here if there's another award coming for that long-distance TV. What do you think, George? You worked anything?
Well, I'm thinking you must have had pretty good gain on your antenna and a really bad transmitter.
Well, it was. It was a 110-foot Rhone with a Telerex 11-element 36-foot Long John, and it made some noise, all right, I got to tell you. But, gosh, it was fun. And those are the things I learned so much about antennas and coming back in my careers. I got into, of course, the organist at the Fox Theater and tuning and voicing pipe organs. But then things that I learned about antennas back in those days, when I got into the microphone industry, I started thinking about the phasing and all of the wonderful things that happen with antennas, and I applied that to microphones. And I know most of you say, what's an antenna got to do with a microphone? Everything. They all have frequency response. They all have peaks, they all have nulls, and phasing. Phasing is very important in a microphone. And so I learned all that from all this antenna stuff. So you see, ham radio is a great, great source for education, and that's why we have to create more youth into this hobby and maybe teach us old guys something. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. Well, we're very, very happy that Ham Nation is bringing some of this information to you. And one of the things that I enjoy about the show is all the videos that they're sending to us. And it's really been tough because in the beginning, I would have them send them to me. I figured, well, we're going to get it. And that was awful. I'd just show a picture here and there. Then Dale came along. And Dale, we met him on the After Show Nets. And then he started telling us a little bit about who he was and what he did, and he's got all these hot dog cameras, and I figured, this is the guy. Dale, we're really glad that you joined our team. Tell us a little bit about your background and what's going on.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Bob. It's been a great experience to be working with Ham Nation and see all the creative work being done by the hams out there. My background, basically, my ham background started about the same time yours did, 56. I was a novice in 57, general.
Did you have radios then?
Well, barely.
Yeah.
I wasn't born till then.
The first receiver was a 3-tube regen home brew.
So right on.
Worked Hawaii on it.
All right.
From Kansas. Not bad.
Not bad. That's
okay.
Right.
Then I wound up eventually in television and broadcasting because of ham radio. And then also went then into the Coast Guard and was a photojournalist for 20-some years and public affairs officer both.
All right.
So we formed the Coast Guard photo team back in 1979 and taught the first crew how to tell stories with photos. And it was fantastic, just a lovely experience. And we're sort of, you asked me to come aboard and try to do the same thing here. So that's what it's all about.
Well, that's why you do such a great job, because the videos and the way that you present the pictures and stuff are really something special.
Oh, great. We appreciate it, Bob. And tonight we'd like to have a lot of fun. We've got Gordo on the horn. No, it's going to be George.
George
is going to be on the horn. And we're going to try to get some group participation from the other hosts here.
Right.
And see if we can come up with some sea stories to give an example of some of these things that we're going to talk about. Basically, we're going to cut it down real short, and we're going to make Bob, Dale, George, and Gordo's top 7 video tips. Number 7. Okay. Tell us about the video, please. Okay. Who made it? That's always good to know. That way we can give you credit, and you'll be able to be voted upon in the Ham's Choice Awards we're running. And also, tell us what's going on, why you shot the video, what you're trying to tell us. And that's very important. You know, answer the journalism 5 W's, who, what, where, when, why, and sometimes how. And that would be real good. And see story from here. I can't tell you how many photos I've received that says, here's a photo for Ham Nation.
And that was all?
And that's it. What am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's a really good photo, and it's obvious, but many times it isn't. So has this happened to you guys?
All the
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about the video. Tell us about the photo, and we'll get it on there for you. I try to get all the videos on if I can that people submit, because I think, you know, names make news, and the ham community call signs make news. So we try to get the ham's name and the ham's call sign, the guy that's doing the video, get that on the air for him, get him some recognition, make him popular back home.
Okay.
So, okay, number 6. Remember the Ham Nation audio podcast audience. How many people realize that probably half the audience maybe for a Ham Nation is listening on an audio podcast, not on a television.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about half, and probably a third to a half of the videos we get in come in the first time without any narration track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite boring for those that are listening only.
they said, what's going on here? And, you know, not that I don't like music videos. I love music videos, but when you're listening to it and you don't see the video, it's kind of flat.
Right.
So has this happened to you guys?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep, well, number 5. Remember, television screens are landscape. Landscape meaning horizontal.
Oh.
Okay. And, you know, portrait videos with an iPhone, say, or something, are great for Facebook to send to someone else who's got an iPhone. And they work real well that way. But if you're going to watch it on Ham Nation, the Ham Nation screen is this way. So try to do that. That reminds me of a sea story back from the Coast Guard Public Affairs Office in St. Louis way back in 1974 or 5. We were just dabbling in television then, had reel-to-reel black and white recorders, and had this young third-class photojournalist, sent him out to shoot a video. And this was the days when the TVs were as big as this desk. And he came back with a portrait video.
Oh.
So we had to lay the TV on its side. I tell you, anything like that, guys?
Yeah.
Have you seen that come
yeah.
in?
So.
Yeah.
Okay, number 4, George. Well, that
let
was
me,
pretty
let
weak.
Me try,
let's
yeah.
try 4 more. well, that's pretty good. Okay. How about shooting a video that doesn't require seasick pills? Right on. How many times have you sat through your family's or your friends' videos and they're going, and it never stops. There's no editing. There's nothing. We can't really use that on Ham Nation. It makes you seasick. So one of the examples, we had a great video come in from the gentleman that toured Tokyo last week.
Oh, yeah.
And he shot, bless his soul, he shot it on an iPhone and did a tremendous job. He had great video quality, but he was all over the place like this. And but he did a super job of narrating those clips.
During an earthquake, that was the deal.
Was that what it was? Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't tell me that. So what we did then was we took that about, he sent me about 7 minutes. We clipped that down to about two and cut all as much of the motion out as we could.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best videos I've seen a guy send in.
It was.
It was super, man. Yeah. And then the feelings he had about the radio districts being gone in New York and Chicago now, because I remember those when we were in Governor's Island, New York. It was wonderful. Now you got to go to Tokyo to do that. So that was a great video. So if you can do something like that, that'd be good. But just remember, don't try to make everybody seasick. Okay, George, number three.
Number three.
Mind your audio. That work for you, Bob?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You have to be able to understand the words.
Yes, it makes it very nice. So basically, I think with audio, number one, don't shoot with the built-in microphone in the camera. It just doesn't cut it. You pick up noise, and it's horrible. You can't hear the person that's trying to talk and things like this. So what you do is you take an external mic, like one of Bob's mics here, the PR22, the PR20, any of them, and you plug it in and get that right by the gentleman doing the narration or the talking. And then you can hear him, and he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. His voice is full, and everybody will love your video. So
right.
I'm sure you've received some videos like that.
Yes, absolutely.
I never have, no.
Right.
Can I add one thing to that, Dale?
All right,
number two. Please do.
Number two.
If it's all possible, most of these cameras have AGC in them for the audio. Turn off the AGC.
Yeah. Very definitely.
Because it is very fatiguing to sit there and listen to something that's constantly pumping on the volume.
You're trying
So if it's possible, turn that off.
You're trying to edit because as soon as the guy stops talking, he goes,
yep.
And then he starts talking, you hear it. Oh, yeah. Very good tip. Another thing, if you're using a DSL camera, the preamps in those things are horrible.
Yeah, they are terrible.
They are noisy. And I ruined a video shooting one that way. So now I bought a little preamp mixer that goes right on the bottom of the camera. It looks like it's part of the camera. And it's you run the gain all the way down on the camera and turn the gain up on the preamp, and you got beautiful sound quality there. So give that a try. Only a couple of more. Number two, George.
Number two.
Sequence your video. That'll work for you. You know, so it goes back to the shooting the whole video like that at one time. You don't want to do that. Really what you want to do is you go in and you establish the scene with a long shot, move to the other side, do a close-up, and then go in real close and show me something that normal people don't see most of the time. Go for the detail. That's one of the reasons I was up there playing around with the camera when you were doing the pickle thing. A great music video produced by the gentleman back in North Carolina, or it might be just to inform your viewers about an event or something. But in all cases, make sure you show your viewers. Show is the word. What you're trying to tell them. So show, don't tell. They'll get your message. You do that. You'll be on Ham Nation, and we'll be applauding your video.
All right, Dale.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If you watch the show, you'll realize how great the videos are that we get from the viewers. It's really super. And we appreciate that. And you want to do that. Take a picture of your shack. Be proud of your shack. Send him some videos. Send him stills. But Dale is really bringing a nice addition to the show.
You don't have to have a nice, big, fancy $2,000 video camera either.
Look what happened
week. What they say, the best camera you have is the one you have with you.
That's right.
So if you don't have your big, fancy camera, you use what you got in your pocket on your smartphone.
Yeah.
And you'll get a great photo. So.
Well, thank you so much, Dale. Well, we're going to take our last break here.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100. More people are getting on the air with this incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. This buy direct promotion is good now until the end of 2013. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's buy direct program.
There's some good stuff. I want you to visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. You can find out more information on the ICOM Buy Direct program. And you can enter the ICOM Weekly drawing for swag, ICOM swag, like ICOM t-shirts and hats. And also check out the details on the ICOM Monthly Grand Prize drawing for the free ICOM radio. For the month of November, it is the ID-51A, full-featured, full-powered, dual-band handheld with D-Star and GPS and the near repeater function built in. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation for the official rules. Check out all the ICOM previous winners. Sign up. You could win that ID-51 or some other cool stuff. And good luck from ICOM and Ham Nation. Let's get back now to the convention and the boys in Missouri.
At almost all of these different ham fests, you always see one figure representing the ham radio industry. And he's a powerful figure because he makes things happen for his company, ICOM America, Ray Novak. Ray, I don't know where you
are, but come on up here.
Ray is one of our very first sponsors. And to keep us on the air, Ray, we so much appreciate the support of ICOM America. Ray, what do you have to say for the team?
Greetings, everybody, and thank you, Gordon, George, Dale, and Bob as well. Oh, I'm supposed to go ahead and talk. I thought this was going to be question and answer.
All right, what's happening new with ICOM America and where are we headed with digital? You have 2 minutes.
Well, I just got back from doing a de-expedition that George played an audio track from a couple of episodes ago. And really just going to the shows right now. And actually, next weekend will be our last one for the year.
How many shows do you do a year for ICOM America?
Oh, over 20.
Wow. And do you sometimes wake up and have no idea what city you're in?
Where am I tonight?
Beautiful Lebanon, I can tell you. What's new with digital at ICOM America?
We've got some interesting technology that was released at the 2013 Tokyo Ham Fair. And of all the different videos that were taken and put on YouTube, this one's probably had the least amount of viewership. But it's one of the most interesting things that's going to get kids involved in it. And it is a Android app using to do a similar to ATV over D-Star. And that's just the beginning of getting into the Android apps and different things to do, because once we start doing development using an Android interface and with all these radios being rig control, what's to say 10 years down the road, a complete black box that you use an Android device or I know they've been doing some iPhone apps and iOS apps that becomes the user interface and the youth and everybody else can design their interface, how they want it to look like, and everything else. So that's pretty exciting to see the development, and this is the second year that they've launched and shown some product in Japan that way.
Wow. Yeah,
I didn't see that one either.
Yeah, last year there were photos. No one did the video, but they were using an iPad to control an ID1 to surf the internet with. And then this past year was an external Bluetooth-type box, or maybe it was a Wi-Fi box. I don't have the details. But if you search for Ham Life Tokyo Ham Fair D-Star, you'll find the video for it.
That's great. Okay, you have 30 seconds for an ICOM America commercial here on Ham Nation Live.
Well, come on by the booth and take a look. Touch the radio, and George, I still think the touch pad or touch screen is a lot more fun.
The 7,000 with the color is still my favorite, Ray.
Tommy will argue with you. And yeah. He just finished doing a real nice review on the 51. So.
He did, yeah.
So thank you for everybody's support. I get a lot of emails with our swag contest. You can enter it. It's icomeamerica.com/hamnation, all one word. Enter in for T-shirts and all kinds of swag drawing. And if you have questions or things that you want to see, I'll work with the guys, or we change our advertising to put in what you guys want to see.
Wow. Yeah, and also if you register, you know, like Ray said, you can win some swag. But they're giving away a radio every month as well.
Oh, yeah,
and this month it's going to be that when we were just talking about that new ID51A handheld D-Star, GPS, the automatic repeater list up, probably the nicest HT
right.
That's and ever been put out.
Last
there.
Month we did the 7200, and then in your contest.
We're doing a 7100. And that'll be given away, actually next week. So the people watching on the video, well, it's too late. Somebody's already won it. But any of you here tonight. Go to amateurlogic.tv/contest, and you'll get all the details there, how you can register to win that IC 7100, along with a great screwdriver antenna from Diamond, a turbo tuner 2, and a Diamond dual band VHF-UHF antenna, everything you need for the ultimate mobile station.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, and appreciate you having me here.
All right. Right. Well, thank you so much, Ray. Let's give him a big hand. It takes a lot of scoots to keep Ham Nation on the air, and quite a setup at the Twit Studios up in the Bay Area. And ICOM America, our sponsor, to help us continue to stay on the air now for how many shows?
About 100.
Okay, time for the chat room. By the way, Cheryl just communicated with her, and she says hi to all of you. She had to work late tonight, or else she would be here, but Cheryl says hi.
We are really happy to have someone to watch the chat room. Again, in the beginning, I didn't know where this show was going, so I was going to just kind of do this myself. You can't do it. We've got to watch what's going on, and now that we have sponsors, we have to think about all of that and try to watch the chat room. I get in there occasionally, but it's really difficult for me. So it's great that she can watch all of the things going on and relay it to us, and away we go. So because she's not here, we're going to continue the chat room. And
yep, we've got time for three questions.
Three. Here we go.
So our roving mic.
Yes. JD is
this
there.
Our roving mic?
Oh, I think we're over here.
Roving microphone, and he's got a roving camera. JD, N0IRS. Yes, thanks a lot.
I think I have the microphone.
There he is. All right.
He's had the microphone
that's
the whole
right.
time.
That's right.
QET, phone home.
Man.
QEW, can't hear you. Earwax. EW? Well, this Q code's not going to work.
It's not at all.
Okay. First question. Somebody have a really good question for all of us. There's one right there. No. Where are we at? Somebody's got to have some questions for us. Got a couple.
Richard.
Got a couple over here.
All right.
Here. Here
say
we go.
Your name and call sign, and then bark that question out. We have time for three questions only. Go.
Richard Stubbs, KC5NSZ, MFJ Enterprises. Gordo, I want to know, since I saw your blazing pickle at AES Superfest a couple of years ago, about 10 or 15 or something like that, how many pickles have you blazed in your ham radio career?
Tell the truth.
What was that?
Tell the truth.
How many pickles?
How many? I have QEW, earwax bad. We fried a bunch of pickles, and at one time we did blow a circuit in one of the stages and put us all in the dark, but we are giving these samples away. Thank you, yes. They won't know who Gordo was, but, oh, the guy that did the pickles. What an epitaph. All right, question number two from the chat room.
Thank you. This is Tom Vaccaro, AA0PO out of Mexico, Missouri. Question I had maybe further addressed, perhaps, by ICOM rep, and that is, what is the limitations on the digital audio that D-Star uses? I was informed that it was quite wide for what it's doing. It's wider than sideband.
I think we have the answer for that. I don't think that's really been decided yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still up in the air, Tom. But they're working on it, believe me. And thank you for the question, though. It's nice to see you. We got to have one more here. Got to be another question. We really appreciate everybody coming and visiting with us tonight here in the live presentation of Ham Nation. And we'll look forward to seeing all of you, of course, when we're back on the air. Oh, boy. Now JD's got to run a little bit.
So, Bob, apparently there are a lot of smart folks here tonight because there's not many questions from the audience.
That's Maybe right.
They, we should get them up here and we should
be out there.
That's right.
Right.
The
there we go. Okay. JD's going to have the third question. Here
I need
we go.
I need some oxygen.
You do up there. Wow.
Clinton D. Alford. D is my middle initial. My call sign is KC0LIR. And I'm from St. James, Missouri. My question is, where did the term squeeze the pickle come from?
I'm not sure I can get it that far up. But come on down, and that's right, squeeze
that's
the pickle.
Right. There you go.
Push to talk, squeeze the pickle, I don't know. That's great.
That's
all
right.
All right, Bob, I'll let you do the wraps. And I wish we had time for more questions, but tune in. Here's the time and place to tune in.
You got it. All you have to do is put Ham Nation into Google, and when that comes up on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central, hit the little arrow that says Watch Live, and you will see us. It's kind of fun to get in a little early and watch us fool around to figure out who's going to talk to what, and is your camera straight, and is your zipper up, you know, that kind of stuff and all that. Yeah, okay. But at 8 o'clock, we try to make the air, and we're usually there for 1 hour. But it's a fun thing, and you should share it with not just ham radio operators, but everybody, because we do have a lot of fun, and that's on Wednesday night. Any other time, you can hear it on the podcast. Go into that website again, and you can see all of that, Ham Nation, into Google. And last but not least, and I find this very honorable, who would ever think amateur radio would be on iTunes?
Yeah.
How cool.
Right?
Yeah. We are, and you can listen to it on iTunes. And it's just a wonderful thing that Leo Laporte, W6TWT, did for ham radio. We thank all of you that support this and watch us each week. And we want you to send us more ideas, more questions, because we do follow them. And so for all of us here, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for coming to the convention. And we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. We're going to be doing a lot of things here on the stage tomorrow. Gordon, we hope that you make a safe trip back to California.
Well, thank you, but I'll be here tomorrow, and I've got a whole table of demo stuff. George, what are you going to do tomorrow?
You know, that's kind of undecided at this point, so you're just going to have to show up and see.
There will be smoke and there will be solder.
There will be. There won't no pickles.
No pickles
will be hard.
Be no pickles tomorrow. Dale will be helping me. And Bob, what are you doing tomorrow?
We're gonna mess around with some audio about receiving. You know, and that's going to be kind of interesting.
Good.
So,
I need something for my ears.
We'll have some little demos on receiving better just by the speakers you use. So
look at this. Isn't this better than being on the normal show where you can see all
sure
these?
Got them all. Yeah. That's right.
Thank you all so much. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
7-3, and we'll talk to you very soon on the air somewhere. But until then, Nation. Bye-bye for now from K9EID.
WB6NOA.
W5KZ0HYD.
All right, good job. Woo!